Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HAMNATION when you check out. By ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HAMNATION. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HAMNATION. This is Ham Nation, episode number 226 for December 9th, 2015. Randy builds a shack.
Good evening, everybody. From the Ozarks. Yep, I'm back in the Ozarks. This is Bob Heil, K9 EID, and you are tuned in to Ham Nation. And it's a wonderful show about ham radio. And we got some of the great experts around the globe to help us. And we'll do a little fast run around, and then we'll come back to them and get some stories. One of them down there in good old Southern Cal, Gordon West. Gordo, how you doing?
We are fine. We had major size waves coming from the north, pounding on the beaches. And yesterday we heard the Hawaiian Beacon 2,500 miles away on the 2-meter band, barreling in for all of 45 minutes, and just as quick as it came, it died out. But wow, tropo ducting at its best. Back to you, Bob.
That's always so much fun. My, oh my, oh my. We don't hear that here, George. Are we supposed to pay somebody extra tax? How come we don't hear that out here, George? George, how you doing from Mississippi?
Hi, Bob. I'm doing pretty good. I spent all day at a transmitter site, and the one I got stuck at a few weeks ago, and I'm probably going back there when I get off the show tonight. I don't expect to get stuck, though, and if I'm lucky, there won't be any war tales in future episodes there. But on another note, I've got one of these, and I'm not afraid to use it. We'll look at that a little later.
Okay. Well, you need this. I got a paper clip. You could put that in the fuse holder if you need. So just remember, I got that for you if you need. And then there's good old Don Wilbanks. Don, how are you doing? You okay?
I don't know. What have you heard?
Well,
life is life.
I get reports.
Okay, I'm sure you do. Life is good down here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, a.k.a. the Redneck Riviera. We will have Tamitha Scove's solar report following Newsline tonight. She has been a little bit under the weather, but she's feeling good enough to grace us with a little bit of video. And we'll talk a little bit more. We'll mention again the Santa Claus net, the Santa Watch net on Echo Link on the Dew Drop In. That's all coming up a little bit later on in the show. Bob, back to you. It's going to be a good show tonight, I think.
Super. These Santa Claus nets are great, and they're going on all over. And we'll be talking about that more and more as we get into Christmas. And speaking of Christmas, why, I'm not going to be here the whole show tonight. We're right in the middle of a recording session out in the studio with the theater organ. We're doing an hour of Christmas using my favorite stuff to play, although it's not traditional theater organ, which I truly love to play also. But we're doing an hour of Christmas music, and it's going to air on WTWW. We've had Ted Randall and his family on before. They're really good friends of ours. Sarah and I have known them for many years, and they have this incredible signal. It's absolutely no question about it. When I go tuning around the band with all my receivers, that is the strongest signal I've ever seen. It just takes a meter and goes bang and stays there. But I think it's running 100,000 watts. We'll have him on right before couple of weeks, and we'll let you know all about it. But it's 5082, I think, is the frequency. But they're going to start playing these Christmas shows, and he'll let us know when they're going to play. And it's a whole hour, and we'll be telling about some of the histories of the songs and stuff like that, and then playing some really great Christmas tunes, not just the hymns, but some of the traditional things, and I love to do that. So we'll put the soldering iron away for a week, and this is what we're doing. But we'll keep you posted. But in the meantime, Gordo's got some good news from down there, and I hope everything's all right weather-wise. It's just great out here, Gordo. Thanks for sending it. It's 70 degrees today, going to be that way for another week. It's been that way for a week, so we're very thankful to you on the West Coast for bringing it out here in the Ozarks in the Midwest. So that's great. So what's going on, Gordo? I know you got some good stuff going.
We do, and you know, the ham radio world has some great stuff going. I hope you'll play Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, because Rudolph may be heading to Pluto, and Pluto is in the news all this week. Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto at the Flagstaff Lowell Observatory, and look at the QSL card they have for those of you that work Whiskey 7 Papa. The Year of Pluto special event scheduled for a few more days. So if you get a chance and you hear Whiskey 7 Papa, thanks to the Northern Arizona DX Association, you'll be talking to a station that is in contact, well, maybe spiritually, with Pluto. Now, a week from tonight is the 50th anniversary of Limarck. Now, if you've ever been to Long Island, you know that Limarck and one of the other groups, the Great South Bay Group. These are premier amateur radio organizations that make things happen. So next week, while I won't be here, I'll be Maritime Mobile, Limarck will be there celebrating their 50th anniversary. And, of course, I hope we see you all at Quartz Fest. And Quartz Fest is coming up in a few more weeks, and we are getting ready. But before we do, if we could go ahead with some short shots, here's a little something to remind folks about. And that is, when you're out in your mobile doing a little mountain topping, you have to remember that with heightened security all around us these days because of all the bad things that have happened, people are very curious and a little worried about when they see someone parked at the top of a hill yakking on a radio. Well, not quite like this. So if you're part of a big radio group, that's fine, because when they see all the signs, they know that you're playing radio for ham radio. Or if you have a group that has a big sign like this, they'll know that it's the ham radio service. So if you got some signs, magnetic or otherwise, strut your stuff, because we need to tell more folks about our fabulous hobby and service, a ham radio. Well, sometimes you go to areas where they don't expect to see hams, and that's when phones get off the hook to the PD saying, hey, there's this weird group and they're talking on radios, even down at the beach. When we were setting up a couple years ago for our Thanksgiving turkey with Chip, you can see him there setting up the beam, and here we are on the air. People get concerned when they see something out of the ordinary, and they call the cops. So when you're trying to work some DX, you've got the local gendarmes wanting to know, hey, what is going on here? And you better have more than just some verbalization to get you out of that jam. I got busted up here because they thought I was interfering with radar. Well, I'm on 10 gigahertz and probably X-band was never the same. But I had folks coming up going, we see all these dish antennas. Oh, you're a ham radio operator. And, well, luckily they knew about ham. But you may set up somewhere where they don't know about ham. At Quartz Fest coming up in 3 weeks, we've contacted BLM and we talked to the local rangers. So when we set up our station, and as you can see, we're set up in the middle of nowhere, but it's really everywhere for ham operators at Quartz Fest. We make sure that our local ranger has got the up and ups as to what we're doing in plain ham radio. Here we are at the Bay Area, and this operator indicated he had set up doing a little bit of portable operation with a small ICOM 706, and no sooner had he got on the air than he was interrogated by the police. When we do our setup with a U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary, make sure that you got your U.S. Coast Guard auxiliary placards on, and that way it'll draw attention to you as a ham radio operator. And it's good working with the auxiliary because they take good care of their radio operators. And, Brian, if we can go to the next shot, there's Pastor Jason. He's with the Coast Guard auxiliary. And when he does operations down along the seashore, you can see he carries all sorts of ID. So having ID is a good idea. Even helicopter pilots will sometimes, on their patrol, will circle around if you're at the top of a hill with a whole bunch of antennas wanting to know what's going on. And this particular pilot, Jeff Van Ness, also a ham, keeps track of everybody on APRS. And that's Don, W6GPS. And Don is all over the place, and he can tell you harrowing stories about setting up and having the gendarmes want to know what the heck are you doing. So if you've got a placard that says what you are, it will help allay any fear. So when the cops come up with their black and white, they want to see your unit, you'll have something to tell them as to what you're doing. And, of course, you want to show them your nice, neat dashboard. No, that's not mine in the wagon, but that is a fun one we spotted in Dayton, Ohio. We have a group out here called California Rescue. We're on the 40-meter bands regularly, and we have our magnetic signs. That's Neil, W6FOG, the main man at Quartz Fest, working with kids as I am, and he displays that logo. People pretty well know that if the cops come up and they go, what are you guys doing? They'll recognize this as the ham radio public service side of our great hobby. And so make sure that your batteries are charged up. And a point that Don Arnold mentioned, he does a lot of traveling. He says now these type of batteries need to go on your carry-on. And he said when you set up to have your carry-on inspected at the TSA, he says double-check that you've moved everything out of the big black bag and into separate little bins so they don't have to ask and swab the bag. And he said anything with batteries needs to come aboard the aircraft as carry-on, not to put batteries in checked baggage because they'll never make it through the screening that goes on out of sight down below. So if you're carrying a handheld, it's perfectly okay on the upcoming vacation time to take it with you to the airport. You might want to have the handheld in its own little plastic bin as you go through the X-ray machines. Don't put everything together. Looks ominous. Make sure everybody knows that you are a ham radio operator. And most important, for those of you that are going to be boondocking and setting up ham radio, have a copy of your federal amateur radio license. This will let them know that you know to be sure and represent yourself as a federally licensed radio operator. And truly, you need to have a copy of your license whenever you're operating. It can even be a photocopy on your cell phone. But have something that proves that you're a ham, and then you're not going to get under the scrutiny because right now it's high scrutiny for anybody doing anything out there. And we sometimes do look ominous when we set up our dish antennas or our ham radio mobile at the top of a hill. Good DX this weekend coming up, and I'll hear you on the high-frequency bands after this show as well as a week from next. All right, we hope all of you have a great weekend, and be sure and be nice and clean-shaven so when the cop wants to know who you are, you're ready to roll with a copy of your license and your clean-shaven face. And now let's talk about what Harry's can do for you.
Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, the little pocket-sized, wallet-sized part of the license, I always keep that in my wallet right behind my insurance card and my driver's license. That way I'm never without my ham radio license. And also, I try not to ever be without a clean clothes shave. And Harry's does that for me. For guys who want a shave experience, a great shave experience for a fraction of the cost, Harry's will fix you right up. And you get $5 off your first purchase by entering Ham Nation when you check out here at Harry's. And, of course, it's the holidays. You got someone on your gift that is just absolutely impossible to shop for. Buying gifts is stressful. It takes up time. It's frustrating. It's just, I've had my fill of it already. Well, Harry's will help you because there's something for everyone on your list, whether it's a Secret Santa gift, an office colleague, the loved one who is impossible to shop for, the guy who has the best of everything, and maybe you're looking for that one special thing that he doesn't have and can't get anywhere else. Well, Harry's will do that for you. The Harry's shaving set starts at just $15. That's the entry level. And as a special offer for Ham Nation viewers, Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase so you can impress for less. A couple of guys started out the company. They were passionate about creating a better shaving experience by delivering an amazing shave at an affordable price and doing it directly to your door. And they not only deliver an amazing shave, they give 1% of their sales and 1% of their time back to the communities that they serve. And, of course, you get a superior shave for an incredible price because they bought a razor factory in Germany. They've been crafting some of the world's highest quality blades for, about 50 years now. And they sell the products at factory direct prices, so they only cost a fraction of the big box brands and the big price brands. And it has never been easier to get started with Harry's. Over a million guys have made the switch to Harry's. In fact, I get emails all the time about people who have switched to Harry's, just unsolicited. They say, man, I love my shave. So you could do that too. The customer service, I've never had to use it, but it's amazing. And the website is so easy to use, you can get on and get out for in about 30 seconds. And here's what the entry level looks like right here. This is the entry level razor right here in my hand. Brian, come back to me for a sec. Here we go. It's a nice heavy plastic handle. Of course, there are 5 blades in that refill. It's pretty amazing, but there's something special. It's called the Winter Winston set, and it comes in this Hi-Zoot box right here. Look at this. In fact, I believe George just gave one of these away, but here's the cool part about this. It comes with something that's very special, and this is a nice presentation box, but here's the razor. I showed you the entry level. Look at this job right here. That is a copper-plated handle. You get this. You get extra razor blades. You get the shave cream that smells great. You get the travel cover, and it all comes in this beautiful presentation case. And this, like I said, man, if you've got someone that is just impossible to buy for, this is the deal right here. And something else, you can take it with you. Here is a great travel bag that they have now at Harry's. And I've got all my stuff in here already. I've got the face wash. I've got the aftershave. I'll go ahead and drop this razor in there because I usually keep that with me. And that way I can go anywhere I want and still be able to keep my clean, close Harry's shave. You can get all this separately. You can get it all together. It's all right there at harrys.com. And I love my Harry's shave. And if you've got someone who takes pride in their appearance, they will absolutely love their Harry's shave as well. So buy for the one you love or buy for yourself because, you know, nobody treats you better than you, right? Go to harrys.com right now as a special offer. You'll get $5 off your first order with Ham Nation code. Don't wait. Economy shipping for the holiday ends December 18th, so act now. Harrys.com, HARRYS.com. Enter the code HAMNATION, all one word, at checkout. Every morning, you can make yourself feel like it's a holiday with your Harry's shave. And, you know, George is a Harry's man, aren't you, George? In fact, you just gave away one of those nice Winter Winston sets, didn't you?
I sure did. Just shipped it out this past week. And, boy, what was that?
Just put that anywhere. Huh? Yeah, just put that anywhere, George. That's fine.
Yeah.
Don't you hate it when the diamond falls out of your ring again? God, I hate that. Yeah. Nothing worse.
Hit me in the toe. Yeah, again? I gave away one of those last week, Don. It was, a great kit. Someone is, well, hopefully they won't get a hold of Santa Claus with that thing. But, you know, someone's going to have a nice shave for Christmas. You know, you can never really have too much test equipment. There's a lot of things that we use in amateur radio that would also be useful in broadcast or, you know, any number of disciplines that use electronics and RF. And I've got a little antenna analyzer right here. This is a rig expert. DX Engineering sells these now. It does a lot of different things, but I had a chance to play with it a week or so ago because I was at a transmitter site, and I was just curious, you know, what's the bandwidth of this antenna? Hey, I'll just take the rig expert, and we'll find out. So, Brian, let's take a look at that. Today I want to play a little bit with the rig expert antenna analyzer. And the antenna site I was at is actually a low-power FM broadcast. This is a 4-bay Jampro antenna. And the frequency is 103.3 megahertz. Let's use the analyzer and take a look at this and see if it can measure FM broadcast band. We're looking at the Rig Expert AA230 Zoom. We'll boot it up by hitting the power button. There's a lot of things you can do with this. It'll do Smith charts, SWR chart, a resistance reactance chart, SWR meter. It can show all those parameters at once. There's a section to set the unit up, to calibrate it, a resistance inductance chart. It'll even function as a TDR. And you can look at multiple frequencies, SWR, at the same time. And then there's a tool section that'll check cable loss, cable impedance, and do self-test on the unit. What I'm interested in today is SWR, so let's take a look at that. We'll start with the SWR meter. Just select it, hit the arrow button there, and let's find the frequency that we're interested in. And we've selected 103.3. We'll click OK. And there it's showing us 1.23 to 1 SWR, not bad. Return loss, 19.7 dB. So that's looking at the single frequency there. Let's go back out and let's do an SWR chart and look at a range of frequencies with it. Click OK. All right, we're on 103.3 megahertz. We're looking 25 megahertz wide. So let's click OK. It's graphing the VSWR there, and you can see it going through different frequencies as it goes. And so now, let's scroll back and see what we got. Where is that dip there? It's not actually on our target frequency. Looks like the dip is actually closer to 104.3. Let's slide up a little further up in the FM band and see what it looks like. If we get up around 107.8 there, we can see the SWR is approximately, I would call that about maybe about a 1.3 to 1 because the yellow line is crossing our marker here, right about 1.3. on the side there. Let's go the other direction, see what it looks like. You can see it goes up pretty high pretty quick. At 88.8 megahertz, well, it's already 10 to 1, so this antenna would not be usable out there. So there you go, the Rig Expert A230 Zoom. You can really zoom in and see exactly what you want to in high resolution on here. And you can't do this with some antenna analyzers. So, a nice rig. There's a lot more you can do with it that I have not completely figured out yet, but it's something I'm going to be looking at in the future, and we'll talk more about it. Nice antenna analyzer does a lot more. Yeah, it does Smith charts too, but I'm not ready to explain a Smith chart today. But we're going to, at some point in the future, we're going to talk about Smith charts. It's not necessarily for the faint of heart, but we're going to try to find an easy way to understand what a Smith chart is. Well, this Friday night, we're going to be shooting the annual Christmas episode of Amateur Logic TV. It'll be at live.amateurlogic.tv at 8 p.m. We're going to have a bunch of guests on there. We're going to be introducing some special, well, they're not actually holiday products, but some special ham radio products that you might find interesting, and generally just have a good old time. So join us 8 o'clock Friday evening at live.amateurlogic.tv and join in our Christmas celebration. Well, you know, I asked a question last week, what makes RG8X cable better than RG58? And, well, a lot of people guessed the answer to that. And there were, believe it or not, there were some that weren't just right. But David Hold had the correct answer. And he said 8X has less loss than RG58. And you're right, David. You can probably compare 8X closer to RG8 than you could RG58. Yeah, it's just a small cable. Similar cable is called Mini 8, but we're going to send out David this DX Engineering patch cord right here. It's the DXE8X DX012, 12 foot with those special connectors there that you can only get from DX Engineering. David, you're going to enjoy this. We'll be getting it out to you this week. And I've got another question. For next week, I'm going to give away one of these Heil Sound hats. If you'd like to win that, then I've got a question here from the amateur technician pool. Which of the following describes combining speech with an RF carrier? Your choices are A, impedance matching, B, oscillation, C, modulation, or D, low-pass filtering. If you think you know the answer and you need something to keep your head warm this winter, send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll be sending this to one lucky winner next week. Well, now let's get a message from ICOM, and then we'll be right back.
Enjoy the holiday season with an ICOM portable. Nothing spreads holiday cheer like ICOM's colorful ID51A Plus D-Star Dual Bander, available in classic black, sunset orange, passion pink, ultraviolet, or lime yellow. Near me repeater function for D-Star as well as analog repeaters. Free downloadable RSMS1A Android app and integrated GPS. For the ham on the go, the UHF D-Star ID31A has so many features to enjoy. Built-in GPS, compact and lightweight with waterproof construction, and micro SD card slot. Want to give the gift of classic 2-meter 70-centimeter operation? Try the ICT-70A HD. Easy to program with simple keypad. It has a large backlit alphanumeric display. Here, 700 milliwatts of loud and clear audio, and the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger for up to 19 hours of operation. For a versatile high-power handheld, choose ICOM's ICV80A HD Sport. It has a built-in BTL amplifier which helps deliver 750 milliwatts of loud audio, great for noisy environments, and like the T70A, the HD version includes the radio, lithium-ion battery pack, and rapid charger. The V80 Sport also comes with an alkaline tray that holds 6 AA batteries. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection. Happy holidays.
You can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation and register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, a lot of other things they put in the prize package there every week. But while you're there, you can find out how you might win a radio in the monthly grand prize drawing. For December, the grand prize is going to be the ICOM ID51A+. It's a dual band, dual watch handheld, probably the nicest one available anywhere. It's got D-Star internal GPS, analog and D-Star near repeater function, enhanced DPRS, free downloadable Android app, and IPX7 waterproof construction, and it comes in a variety of colors. So go to icomamerica.com/amateur after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And now, you know, I'm wanting to know what's going on in the news, and we have a guy on here for just that purpose.
Did you call me a porpoise? Because I've been called worse by better. In fact, just here at home by people who love me. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about the news. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1988, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Young hams are the future of our hobby and service, so let's start there. The results are in, and the Schofield Radio Club in Aiken, South Carolina, has once again proudly announced its top 10 ranking to the world. The youngsters at the Schofield Middle School placed 5th among middle schools and 10th overall among all 62 schools in the nation, competing in the annual ARRL School Club Roundup in October. The club is a repeat winner, in fact, having ranked 10th overall in last year's contest and 3rd for middle schools. The Roundup involves students working contacts for 3 to 4 hours after school for 1 week. The Schofield students reached 40 states, 22 countries, and 30 schools for a total of 520 QSOs. Wednesday, December 3rd, was a promising night for Rebecca Hughes, M6BUB, the Youth Committee Promotional Manager of the Radio Society of Great Britain. The 16-year-old launched the first gathering of a new youth net, reaching out on the North Wales 2-meter repeater, GB3MP. She told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email, quote, "The net is hopefully going to be a way for young licensees to interact with other young people. I had this idea because when I first got my license in November 2011, I didn't know of any youth licensees apart from my brother." She said that her work with the Radio Society has brought her into contact with more young amateurs, and it inspired the idea of the net. She said, quote, "My goals and hopes for the net are to help more young hams who may not know any young licensees to gain friends and contacts that they can talk to even when the net is not on the air." From the Oops, Sorry About That file. Participants in last year's 10-meter contest who received certificates may have discovered that they were intended for someone else. The problem was a formatting error in a data file that caused confusion over the mailing addresses. The ARRL's interim contest manager, Dan Henderson, N1ND, says the problem was that some address data retrieved from submitted Cabrillo logs in the data file were misidentified, sending many certificates to the wrong recipients. The error is limited only to addresses, not anyone's scores or standings. Henderson says be patient. New certificates, the correct ones, should be in the mail no later than December 11th. An emergency drill in the form of a huge coronal mass ejection sent radio amateurs scrambling early last month.
Imagine an outage of all conventional communications throughout the U.S. Imagine two massive solar flares known as coronal mass ejections as the source of the stirred-up ionosphere behind the blackout. This was the reality for members of the military auxiliary radio system and the amateur radio emergency service for 2 days beginning November 8th. It was only an exercise, but for 2 days, it was still a challenge. And ultimately, said the organizers, it was a success. MARS operators were given the directive to make direct contact with as many radio amateurs in the nation's 3,142 counties as possible, using mainly HF, VHF, and UHF repeaters. Paul English, WD8DBY, the U.S. Army's MARS manager, praised the work of radio operators at the conclusion of the exercise. He told the ARRL that MARS members got messages through to 816 counties around the country, or 26% of the nation's total. He said advanced publicity helped boost performance during the two-day drill, and inquiries about participation had poured in from 41 states and more than 50 Aries groups who wanted to be part of the test. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bobby Best, WX4 ALA in Jasper, Alabama.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Bobby Best, WX4 ALA, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove.
The Earth is feeling the effects from some solar wind coming from a massive coronal hole. And the sun turns its active face towards us again, which is already bringing us more flares and a chance for some new solar storms. Those stories and more in the news this week. Although the sun has been extremely flare quiet over the past couple weeks, it has kept us busy. We've been under the influence from some fast wind from this massive coronal hole. You can see it covers almost the entire northern hemisphere and stretches almost all the way across the sun. Now, we're waiting for the most equatorial region of this big coronal hole to hit us, and we should start feeling the effects of that here in the next day or so. Meanwhile, if you look further across the east limb of the sun, there's a lot of activity that's beginning to rotate into Earth view. We've already been hitting a couple flares. Region 2366 has flared for us already, and we've seen some serious activity on the backside. So what this could mean is that as these continue to rotate into the Earth strike zone, we could start seeing some solar storms, and some activity could pick up this week. Switching to our M-flare threat level, you can see we've been well below the seafloor for a number of days. Now, things starting around the 8th began to pop a little bit higher. We almost reached the M-flare threat level, but things have since quieted back down. But we're keeping our eyes on Region 2366 just in case it begins to act up again. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see we've mostly been pretty quiet. There have been a couple pops here right around the turn of the month, but nothing that's been really sustained until we got to about December 5th when we really started feeling the effects of the fast wind from that coronal hole, and it kept it as active conditions and active conditions for nearly 3 days. It didn't really pop us up over storm level for very long, and now things are beginning to quiet down, but we are still waiting for the most equatorial part of that coronal hole and the fast wind from it, and that could pop us back up easily into active conditions and possibly into storm conditions here in the next day or so. And the quiet to active conditions have brought us some gorgeous aurora all over the world, including Svalbard, and we had gorgeous aurora glow in Aberdeenshire. We had beautiful curtains in Sweden. We had beautiful time-lapse during quiet conditions in Iceland. This is from my boss's vacation. We had gorgeous pillars in Ontario. We had beautiful green aurora glow in British Columbia and in Regina, Saskatchewan. We had coronas in Yellowknife. We had beautiful pulsating aurora in Elk Point, Alberta. And gorgeous aurora in Alex, Alberta. We had beautiful aurora even in the United States. Here's some in Minnesota. And in Down Under, we had gorgeous aurora even glowing with some purples in New Zealand. So what else does our sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what you can see immediately is that the sun has been incredibly active on the backside. There have been multiple regions that have been very busy firing off solar storm after solar storm. You can see them as like little explosions, little poofs of stuff that blow off the sun. Now, these regions here are going to be rotating into Earth view really within the next couple days or so. And as a matter of fact, one of them just the other day launched a huge solar storm that is now hitting Mercury and will be hitting a spacecraft called Maven here in the next day. So when these rotate into Earth view and especially into the Earth strike zone within the next week, we could start seeing some Earth-directed solar storms. Returning to the disk, you can see we've actually had very little activity in Earth view over pretty much the past week. But finally, the east side is showing signs of life. We have regions like 2466, which have fired off two near M-class flares, and region 2465, which is also showing signs of life. We also have these two new regions that you're barely beginning to see that are coming into Earth view now. Those regions are two of four very active regions that were on the backside that have been firing solar storm after solar storm. So as these regions rotate into Earth view and especially into the Earth strike zone, we might actually see some new solar storms headed our way. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating the impact of that fast wind that we've been expecting. NOAA is giving us about a 55% chance of a major storm at high latitudes over the 10th and into the 11th. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting about a 20% chance of a minor storm, but pretty much active conditions, we definitely. After that, things will begin to settle back down. But of course, all of this could change if a solar storm is launched our way. Switching to our solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we haven't been seeing much activity in the way of flares, but we are getting these new regions rotating into view. So NOAA is giving us about a 10 to 15% chance of an M-class flare over the next few days, but expect that to rise as these new regions that have been extremely busy on the backside begin to rotate into Earth view. Meanwhile, we don't expect to have any solar particle radiation storms at this moment, and that should stay for quite a while. So you amateur radio operators and GPS operators should be very, very happy. So this week, it looks like it's out with coronal holes and fast wind and in with some active flare conditions and possibly a solar storm or two. And that should make you aurora photographers happy because you might finally be able to get some sustained solar storm levels, which should bring aurora down to mid-latitude. So some of you aurora photographers can finally get the shots that you've been just dying for over the past week or so. But then again, those active flare conditions will actually bring up the noise floor on the amateur radio band. So you ham radio operators, you may be a little bit more frustrated because conditions will continue to be noisy over the next week or so. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Dr. T on here. And why do you have a whale? Oh, a porpoise. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It's a porpoise.
Yes, it is. It's an all-porpoise porpoise. Well, you know, there are, it's not too often you get to talk to Santa Claus, but there are some opportunities on ham radio. One, of course, is the 3916 80-meter net every night until Christmas at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, or Central, rather. But there's also a chance on Echolink. In fact, you can hang out on Christmas Eve and actually listen for Santa on Echolink. And why don't we tell folks about that?
Well, boys and girls, it's my favorite time of the year again. It's time for the Santa Watch Net.
That's right. Santa will be making his rounds, and once again, for the fifth year in a row, the gang at the Dewdrop Inn will be watching the radar. Join the Santa Watch Net, starting at 1800 hours Eastern Time.
Oh, my little elf Dave, N3NTV. He's such a cute little guy. He'll be calling the net and keeping track of old Santa's location.
And just like last year, Santa has a radio in his sleigh, and he may chat with the kids again.
Oh, bring all the little ones and get them checked in. Third-party traffic, of course, always on the nice list.
Once again, it's the Santa Watch Net. Christmas Eve, 1800 hours Eastern on the Do Drop In Echolink conference server, node number 355-800.
Merry Christmas from me, old Santa, and all my little elves at the Do Drop In.
That is always a great time. But I want to go back to something that Dr. Scove said. There was, she said something about what was it? Let's go back to the tape, Brian. What was it she said?
We've already been hitting a couple flares. Region 2366 has flared for us already, and we've seen some serious activity on the backside. Serious activity on the backside.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel so much better now. I'm glad that was clarified. Thank you to our two expert witnesses there. Why don't we go and see what Dale's going on? And Dale, we don't want any backside talk.
Okay. We'll work on that, Don. And speaking of the Santa, listening to Santa on amateur radio on the night before Christmas Eve, we'll have a great video from Larry, WD0AKX, up in Minnesota. He's got some nice video listening to the youngsters talking to Santa on the 3816 net. So that'll be real nice in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, got a couple of nice videos this evening. A report on a mini field day held by the Greene County Amateur Radio Club that's in Virginia. And Randy, K7AGE's back, and he's ready to show new hams how to plan and set up a nice ham shack. Let's kick things off first from the Swift Run Overlook in the Shenandoah National Park. Here's John Underwood, K4EBS, reporting.
This is Kilo 4, Foxtrot Zulu Echo. We are operating portable, battery-powered from the Shenandoah National Park, Virginia, USA. It's a local radio club. Copy.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to walk in the Fort of Belfast. Yes, it's very interesting because we report between 5 and 3 and 5 and 7 when you are with your portable station, and you can eventually transfer to me for the special Christmas. I thank you very much. Kilo 4, Foxtrot Zulu Echo, so portable, Oscar Papa 8, Oscar November. Merci beaucoup.
Kilo 4, Foxtrot Zulu Echo, thank you for the information. Have a good day. Merci beaucoup.
Many thanks, my pleasure.
Kilo Charlie 2, Charlie Zulu Kilo, Rich in Syracuse, New York.
Do you copy WA4MBS, over.
WA4MDS, copy. How you doing today?
We're doing a mini field day. It's really our own thing. It's sponsored by the Greene County, Virginia Amateur Radio Club. And you're coming in very well here, at least a 5-9.
You're coming in pretty good. I wouldn't say 5-9, but I'd say probably like a 4-9.
WP4ITN, repeater.
K4 Mark, ID. I'm talking to you on one of these little $39 Balfangs. little HD sitting here on the table.
Yep. Okay. You are K4MRH. Name is Mike, right?
Affirmative, yes, sir. And yeah, I'm an old man over here in Monterey. And you're at 3,200 feet. We're at 3,000.
Correct.
So there's nothing in basically between. Nothing between us but air.
Well, John, we thank you for sending the video to us here at Ham Nation. And special kudos go to the Greene County Amateur Radio Club team. They followed the video submission guidelines to the letter. They not only answered the who, what, and when they sent us the video, they also told us why. And why? In the words of Club Secretary John Underwood, we did it to determine how effective we could be on the VHF and HF bands using only battery power and portable antennas. Above all, we love to have serious fun. Let's move now to our feature video. How do you plan and set up a ham shack? With the answer, here's Randy, K7AGE.
Hi, Randy, K7AGE. I'm back. I'm actually now in Gold Beach, Oregon, which is a little town on the Oregon coast located about 40 miles up from the California border. We have moved into a rental house because we're going to be building a house up on the hilltop just outside of town. You may have seen a couple of my other videos that I've shot up there. But now I need to put a ham shack together. So the room that I'm in isn't quite as large as the room I had in Grass Valley. But I have one of my tables here, as well as some other items in the room. So the way I'm going to organize it, it's going to be quite a bit different from before, is that over on this part of the table, I'm going to put up one of these metal wire-type shelves, be about 3 feet tall or so, and that's where I'm going to put all the radio equipment. I currently have one computer set up, and I use one for my standard, you know, computer type things, internet and video editing and such. I have another PC that I use for my radio, for my ham radio uses. So really don't have room for two monitors, so I'm going to put both PCs, I think, underneath the bench here, and I have a keyboard monitor mouse switch that I can switch between the two PCs to the one common monitor. So on this shelf that's going to fit over here, I'm going to put my Elecraft K3 with the P3 Spectrum scope on it, and my Kenwood TS-2000. That'll give me basically two HF radios, but the Kenwood also has 144 and 440, or 2 meters and 70 centimeters in there. One of the things I'm going to do different in this shack that I haven't done before is that I'm going to wire all the radios, the audio outputs, into this mixer. This is a Behringer. It's a Zenix, I guess he pronounced it, 1204. So basically it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 input mixer. So I can have my K3 on one slider, my TS-2000, both HF and the UHF-VHF. And I'm going to hook the output of one of my scanners in here so I can control that. And if last fader or so, maybe my PR22 microphone. So I'll be able to use this to feed into a pair of speakers. I bought the JBL, the CP2s, I believe they are, the little monitor-powered speakers that Bob talks about quite often. And feed the speakers with the output of this mixer. I also have a digital audio recorder. I will connect that into the mixer. So whatever I'm hearing, I'll be able also to make an audio recording. One of the other big projects is going to be antennas, but we'll cover that in another time. I haven't figured that all out yet. I don't have a lot of space, a lot of good trees or anything like that to put up antennas. So I hope to put up at least a 20 and 40 meter dipole and a couple antennas for the 2 meters and 70 centimeters, probably just omnidirectional verticals, as well as another antenna for my scanner. So I've got a lot to do here. I got to clean this out, get the stuff out of the way. I got to assemble the shelves and move some things around and unbox some radios. So I'm just going to kind of quickly go through that with the magic of a video, and we'll see how it all goes together. That's about all for this video. It was pretty much a day's work there in the last 2.5 minutes that you saw. So, you know, I cleared out the space, assembled the shelves, unboxed the radios, set the radios on the shelves, hooked up the power supplies, hooked up the two computers through a keyboard, monitor, mouse, switch. The computers work, the radios are powered up, and now I've got a few other things to do. So I have to put up some antennas yet. I need to hook up the audio mixer. I need to hook up the computer interfaces for radio control and for things like PSK for audio. So stay tuned. There's more to come. Thank you. Thanks for watching. This is Randy, K7AGE73.
Okay, Randy. Well, thank you very much for the detailed as well as educational take on Show Me Your Shack. It should be quite helpful for all the new amateur radio operators out there this evening. We look forward to seeing one more episode there to see how you deal with your antennas and the other outside issues in the smaller space. Well, that's it for tonight. We look forward to seeing photos of your shack very soon. We only have one or two in since the last episode, so get yours in as quick as you can. Just send your photos and your links, if you've got videos, to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. Next time, on the night before Christmas Eve, we've got a great video from Larry, WZD0AKX, you'll be listening to the youngsters around the nation talking to Santa on the 3816 net. Well, Mike, WT6H, will be back on the post-show net tonight on 40 meters. Hopefully, we'll be around 72, 78, plus or minus a few. He'll be running low on power, though, and with an alternate antenna, so we hope to hear you on the air, too, at that time. Right now, let's go on out to Canyon City, Colorado. Visit the studio of Amanda and find out what's shaking in the chat room. Amanda, good evening to you there in Colorado.
Well, good evening, Dale. And I apologize, you guys. The camera's a little high tonight. We're still working out the bugs in our studio here, if you can call it that. So anyhow, I do have some questions. First of all, Gordo, so nice to have you for the end of the show, and we get to ask you some questions. How you doing tonight?
I am fine, Amanda. Good to see you. Go ahead. I'll try and answer them all.
Okay. Well, the first question is, when making a coax air choke, is there a preferred type of coax, i.e. RG58, RG8X, LMR400? What do you think?
I would like to use RG8X because I can, I usually do it around a tennis ball can, make 5 to 10 turns. RG8 use a little tough, but if I'm going to be running a lot of power, then I'll go for the bigger coax. And LMR400, depending as to which kind you get, you might not be able to make that sharp of a turn around a tennis ball can. So 8X is my favorite for up to 100 watts.
Very good. Well, thank you so much. My next question is about, what kind of awards do you go for? And this is kind of, this is going to be a group question, but I'm going to give it to you first, Gordo. Have you gotten your triple WAS? Do you worked all states? How valuable are those kinds of awards to you?
You know, I don't really go for awards. I'm just so tickled to talk with ham radio operators. I'm not an award hound. I don't have a monster beam. So just happy to be out here making contacts. And I don't have on my wall a single worked all whatever's award. Isn't that something, huh?
That is something. And I do not have my triple WAS. I do have my worked all states. And that when I got on HF, that was the first thing I worked for. And it was a big deal to me. I thought, I've worked all 50 states and I did it all by LOTW. So that was an even bigger deal that I didn't rely on just cards. I wanted to get it all verified digitally. So Don, what about you? Do you go for any awards, triple play, anything like that? I'm not hearing Don.
I was caught unaware. I'm sorry. I was concentrating on stuff. What'd you ask me? I'm sorry. I wasn't ignoring you. I had a brain bubble.
That was my fault.
Don't earlobe
really?
Award.
Don't take the blame, Don. It was Brian's fault.
So you two were talking about cigars in the background and totally ignore. Oh wow. Okay. Anyhow, Don. The question was about how big of a deal are awards to you, such as have you gotten your triple play, worked all states, anything like that? I was talking about how it was a big deal to me getting my worked all states right away when I got on to HF. What do you think?
I started working on worked all states a long time ago, and I have yet to finish it. I don't have enough time to sit here and just go through it. I mean, if I got on... what is it, JT65 or some of the nets, the worked all states nets, I'm sure I could knock it out in a weekend, but I just don't have the time to do it. And typically, I don't know, I'm sitting off in the corner eating my crayons anyway. So, you know, I'm one of those kind of guys that I'd love to have the big awards, but I don't have anything yet. But I'm casually kind of working on it.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say that you're sitting in the corner wearing the dunce hat, but that's just me. by the way, I have to say that it's N4HAI Tom, who just got his triple play, who was very proud of it and wanted to know how big of a deal it was for everyone else on the show. So, Dale, what do you think? Did you work for that stuff when you got on HF?
I don't work very hard at it. I stay so busy with the video and photography and things like that. that I don't get too much of a chance, but I did complete the regular straight WAS mixer not too long ago. That is an outstanding, beautiful plaque that the ARRL puts out for that one. I really like it. It's real nice looking. I am like you. I made all of my contacts for these kinds of certificates through LOTW. I have picked up a couple of certificates from EQSL also. They're sort of unofficial, but I do like the LOTW and the fact that you can confirm these contacts. Usually within a few minutes, you'll see the stuff appear. But I'm real close to the DXCC. I'm not one of these people that go for 360 countries like Val. I don't know how they do it. I really enjoy ham radio, just speaking with other hams. Especially it's nice when you're when the band's open and you've got good propagation and you're talking to the other side of the world and you can sit back and chat for a half hour. It's really nice. So half and half would be the answer. But for the gentleman there, the three-time award type thing, that's a very big deal. That's a lot of work, and he should be congratulated, Amanda.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Tom, for sure. Jeff drove me crazy working on his triple play, and he did get it, by the way, you guys. He's one, I can't even remember what his number is, but it's in the thousands. And we had to have a ham stick on our car. By the way, our car looked like a pincushion. We bought a Yaesu 857 just for the car. Every time we're driving down the road, he's like, oh, wait, I don't have them confirmed. I've got to stop and work them. I love it. I think that it was great that he worked so hard on it. But it also, I was not even really into HF at that point in time. I was just a technician, and I couldn't have cared less. Now, I completely understand how hard he worked now, because just getting my work to all states was pretty difficult. And I'm with you, Dale. I'm what am I? I think I'm at 78 now on my DXCC on LOTW.
Wow.
Yes, I'm so excited. But I've been working a while. Are only three, really?
Oh. Yeah, three or four. I'm going to get on the next contest and work the ones I haven't worked. That's there a strategy I usually do. I just I look for the ones that I haven't got yet and go for them during the contest. I'm never going to win a contest because I operate too slow. So that's the way that is.
Right here on the nose, Dale. That's what you hit, because I kid you not, that's exactly what I do. I'm like, oh, Macedonia's on? That's what I'm going to work for the next 2 hours until I can actually get that contact. I don't care about the whole contest. But Jeff's standing right here, so I'm going to have him grab our shoes. I'm going to show you guys what we've been doing this last weekend. We've been digging a hole for our tower. See that mud?
Oh, yeah. And it's ugly.
It is ugly. Those are my shoes.
Ooh.
I've been working just as hard. I wish I could show you the shovels. And this is the clay ball that we made from what we found at the bottom of the hole. It's a 3 foot by 3 foot by 42 inches. And put a little bit of gravel in there. We're putting up a 50-foot tower, Rhone 25. Oh, we're so excited, though, you guys. It was a lot of work, though. I'll tell you that. Just digging that hole. Everyone's like, oh, just get a backhoe. Yeah, we don't have the money for that, so we just kind of dug. Anyhow, we're really looking forward to it. We have the concrete truck coming this weekend. And this is one thing I'm going to talk about. Everyone says, oh, you're going to have to mix your own concrete and pour it, and you're going to have to work really hard. Guess what? The concrete truck is cheaper than Quikrete bags and doing it yourself. Oh. Wow. Can you believe that? I don't know if that varies by area, but right here in Colorado, $126 for, I guess it's a cubic yard, delivered. Now, if you were to do the same thing with the Quikrete bags, 60-pound bags, it would cost you $180. Oh. So don't just assume that you have to work that hard. Always check around and see if you can get a better price. It's worth it for us. So
Wow. Anyhow,
that's a, we can't wait to document it for you guys. We have a lot of pictures, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot more. And we had to wheelbarrow it all into our tower position because there's no opening in our backyard to just back a truck up to it. So this ought to be good. Hopefully we don't dump any wheelbarrows on the way there. other than that, hey, that's about all the questions. I have one announcement, a general upgrade. KD7LDG, Kyle just upgraded to general. So congrats.
All right.
Kyle.
Yay.
We can't wait to hear.
Good job.
Absolutely. So that's all I've got tonight, you guys. I'll send it over to you, Don.
Yeah, I'm wrapping up some Christmas shop. This is what I'm looking at right there. I'm looking at DX Engineering. And we're not going to talk about anything specific, no specific product at DX Engineering, but we're going to talk about DX Bucks because this is cool. If you get a chance to go to dxengineering.com, you can earn DX Bucks. And if you shopped last week, you've got some. And now that you've earned your DX Bucks, your rewards, you may be wondering how they work. Well, it's simple. They're basically DX Engineering loyalty rewards program. The more you earn, the more you save on future purchases at DX Engineering. They're kind of like gift certificates. You earn them, the DX Bucks, when you buy selected DX Bucks eligible gear, and you can apply the DX Bucks towards future orders. So you're saving a little bit of money. Here's how it works. Purchase a product that is currently eligible for the DX Bucks award. After you finish the transaction, you'll get a certificate in the mail a week or two later. There's a special code on that. That's your DX Bucks promotion account. The next time you order, either online or on the phone, just give DX Engineering that number, and you're awarded the DX Bucks amount will be sliced right off the top of the order. It's that simple. And they range from $10 to over $100 off your next purchase. But, of course, there's always a catch, right? What's the catch? There's no catch. There's no catch, except that, well, they're only valid for a limited time, but, you know, that's okay. Check the data on your certificate. You don't want to, you know, it's one of those use it or lose it deals, kind of like your vacation at the end of the year. Then visit dxengineering.com, and it's free money, y'all. Who doesn't like that? And the special DX-eligible products change every month. You'll find them attached to antennas, radios, and a whole lot more. You want to get started? You go to the Hot Deals page at dxengineering.com. Get the most up-to-date DX Bucks promotion. If you're not on the mailing list, well, then go ahead and sign up at DX Engineering. And I got a letter. I got a letter the other day, and I wanted to read this. Totally unsolicited from Jim, KK4JTW. Don, I was having problems with an amp that I bought from DX Engineering. I had returned it to the manufacturer twice and was about to send it out again. Instead, I contacted DX Engineering and worked with Terry Greiser, great lady. Not only did they take the ball and run with it, they allowed me to upgrade to the latest updated model, just paying the difference, with free shipping and free UPS pickup for the old unit. He's beyond ecstatic, and you will be too. He says, his email to Terry says, wow. You have a supporter for life. I'm very loyal and like to pay it back or pay it forward. So he says, you might just say you were doing your job, but you go beyond the normal and always have a smile. And that's the way they all are. And there it is right there. That's the way they all are at DX Engineering. Awesome people. And you're going to love doing business. So start earning your DX Bucks now with the most friendliest people in the whole ham radio universe and get rewards for buying from DX Engineering. And, of course, they ship faster than anybody else in the industry. Get your ground shipping order in by 10 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. If it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, friendly folks who know their stuff. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Go online, grab a catalog, or shop online 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation, even on mobile devices, as you saw there. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. That's going to just about do it for us. We've had a full show tonight. It's a shame that Bob had to get out early, but that's all right. That's how it goes sometimes. But we're all here and we're all having fun and we're sharing our love and our knowledge of ham radio. And we learn as much from you guys as you learn from us. And good to see Randy on here again tonight. So the show nets, where did we say 40 was? Where did we say 40 was?
Shoot for
70. Where?
Around 72, 78.
Okay, 72, 78.
And D-Star is on 14 Charlie right now, you guys.
Right. 14 Charlie. And, of course, Echolink on 355-800. That's the Dew Drop-In Echolink conference server. So check into all the nets. And we will see all of you back here again next Wednesday night. So speaking for all those wacky folks on the screen, and George, too, who's not on the screen, but he's just as wacky. I'm Don, AE5BW. Good night, all. Thank you so much for being a part of our little Ham Nation family. Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.